Good afternoon. Good to see everyone. Can you hear me back there on the mic just fine? Is that coming through loud and clear? You know, we're at 11th Junction. We don't need a mic. It's where two or three are gathered together in my name. Okay. Dennis knows. I do my big time preaching in Panama. I go down there where they live on dirt floors. Y'all don't believe there are such places. I'll show you slides. But we baptized 50 there, I believe. The brethren have baptized 50 there in the last couple of years. So their people are still receiving the gospel. And so you just got to go where they are. And we think there's some of them in 11th Junction. See, we've got a couple of people back here. I brought my wife. You know, I was thinking one of the benefits, Bob, of being a preacher is you can sit your wife down and talk to her and she can't say a thing. Now, Sister Dyer, I should have thought of that when I was younger. I'd have been a preacher sooner, right? See everybody. We're going to mainly look at John chapter 4 this afternoon. By the way, I want y'all think about the guy that I just followed. I never seen him before in my life, but I read about a man who was a sheep farmer and itinerant preacher, and that guy claimed he had both of those credentials. You remember that? He said he raised sheep. That's what Jesus did, wasn't it? Yep. Y'all know about him? Y'all heard about Jesus? Well, that's what he said. That's the first time I've ever followed anyone with those credentials. So commend him for that, you know. This is a full-time preaching stuff, you know. That's a latter-day invention of modern man. I didn't say there's anything wrong with it. But Jesus was an itinerant preacher. What I've always aspired to be is a tent-making preacher. Sister Dyer knows I've worked at it hard, too, don't you, Sister Dyer? But what I want to talk to you this afternoon is I want you to think of yourself in the context of the things that Jesus is going to talk about in John chapter 4. You see, we find Jesus. He comes down the road. He gets to a well. This is a very famous well, by the way. This is Jacob's well. Now, it's been there for hundreds of years. Obviously, all the people involved in the discussion, whether Samaritan or Jews in this discussion, John chapter 4, are very familiar with this well. And it is virtually a holy site to them. Not just from the fact that they got their water there, but there were so many things that happened around that and that had happened over the centuries that was historical to the Jews. But Jesus comes to this well and he wants a drink of water. And the disciples have gone off into the city to get some food for the day. And so Jesus wants some water. And lo and behold, coming down the road, he sees a water pot. And, you know, there's water on the way. They get closer. It's a Samaritan. You know, you heard him talking about the previous hour about the Samaritans. These Jews didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. And so Jesus is sitting there. He's wanting water. He knows she's got a water pot. But he also knows something else. He needs water in his life, and she needs water in her life. Just two different waters, right? One of them comes out of the water pot. The other one comes out of the message he has for her. So the question comes down, can Jesus be different? That's our lesson today. Can we be different? I think today, and I'll talk to you for a moment, those of you that are in the church, we've become too much comfortable on our padded pews, and we're taking it too easy. And we ought to be about the business of what we're going to see Jesus about. You see, the person he's about to talk to, we'd get very uncomfortable, especially if you were a preacher. Oh boy, some more lost coming in, bring them on in. Those are my grandkids. They're not lost. It's just their parents that are lost. But this person that's coming down the road with the water bottle, he's got a lot on his plate. This people's race is considered evil by Jesus' people. You see, he's going to have to get out of bounds, so to speak, to deal with this situation. She's a Samaritan. They don't speak to them. As we'd say, where I came from, you wouldn't spit on them if they're on fire. If you don't believe that, read the rest of the Gospels and see. This thing started with the Samaritans back after the Babylonian captivity, if you don't know that. And when the Jews, the 50,000 Jews, came back from Babylon to rebuild the temple, well, guess what? The Samaritans are sitting out there, and they are actually relatives, and they oppress them in trying to rebuild the walls and trying to rebuild the temple, and actually stopped them on one occasion. And so they hadn't liked one another since. It had been 500 years. They're still carrying this on. They can't get along. They don't like one another. Jesus confronting the situation. This woman, not only is she from a nationality he's not real comfortable with, or at least you and I wouldn't be. He seems to be able to absorb that and deal with the real important matters. But she's from a different people. But not only that, she's had five husbands. And now she's got one of those living boyfriends. Down where I came from, they call that shacking up. But y'all probably don't know anything about that. Okay. And so how's Jesus going to deal with this woman? Can he be different? Can he get a drink of water and teach her and bring her to the words of life? I'm telling you, and these people in 11th Junction know that we're dealing with these kinds of situations every day. And if you know the people in your community, you know this problem is rampant in our society. It's on every street. People have lost their way. We talked about the 99 sheep in the first hour and the one that's lost. Our whole society is becoming lost in sin. We've lost focus on what's important. So let's see if we can learn from Jesus. And I hope you can see this. I'm standing in front of some of you. But I want to see if we can learn from Jesus in John chapter 4 how to be different. Let me point out, first of all, if I walk across away from this thing, it can't get in. Can I walk away? Okay. Look at the bottom of this page. You remember what John said when he's writing this book? I encourage you to read and study the book of John. In John chapter 20, he tells us, this entire book is written so that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life in His name. And before we finish today, I hope we can discover what that means to have life in His name. I better get my watch out here. I'm loving to go to, what is it? Paul went to midnight. I don't know if I can go that long, but I can get close. Just ask my wife. Explore the truth as you look at John chapter 4. What he's going to ask this lady to do is explore the truth. Because once this lady knows who he is, she starts wanting to know what he knows. Because she figures out pretty quick he's a prophet. Because he calls her number real fast. We need to talk to people about their sin. You know, and that don't mean talk to their neighbor about. You know, sometimes we have that problem in the church. We don't want to talk to their neighbor about their sin. But Jesus said, talk to the person that needs to be discussed with about their sin. Talk to them about the gospel truth. Talk to them about the mind of God. That's what Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says. We have the mind of Christ in this book. This is how God reveals His will to us. You can find out all sorts of ways to be a Christian today. But you can only find one way in this book. And so what we're looking for today is the gospel truth. We want to look at the mind of God. Now this lady, Jesus has a discussion that's in John chapter 4. He says, give me a drink of water. Seems like a reasonable request. And she says, look, man, y'all don't have anything to do with us. What are you doing asking water of me?
Well, that's Tennessee version.
Okay. That's a modern day translation of what she said. And what does he say to her? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. That's what this book contains. Living water. This morning, we began
we began about 8 o'clock. And over at Lebanon Junction, we give out boxes of food. I'm telling you, we got the sweetest people this afternoon in Lebanon Junction you've ever seen. Because when Denver Collins went up yesterday, he not only got a trailer load of food, they gave him cakes and pies and sweet rolls and bread, homemade bread, kind of stuff you get at these big time stores in Louisville. And he brought it home and we sent everybody home with a box of cakes and bread and stuff. We sweetened up Lebanon Junction. Just this morning, Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. I put a little folder today in our boxes because here's the challenge we got in America. It may be at your house and it may be with you. I don't know. You've had to answer those questions. But here's the challenge. We spend too much time worrying about what we want to eat physically and too little time worrying about it spiritually. We are caught up in things. Let me give you an example. It's a sad illustration, but it's true. It's kind of humorous. Adrian Price and I were out knocking doors in Lebanon Junction. You know, you're not safe in Lebanon Junction. We think sinners ought to be chased down wherever they are and dealt with. Okay. And so we invite y'all to do that here in Radcliffe, too. You've been doing it. I'll cut out here. Dennis walked me. He said he was sick. He walked me. My old ankle swelled up. I had to go to the doctor. Say, what's wrong with me? He's probably going to tell me I just need to do it more often. But anyway, we're talking to this lady in Lebanon Junction. And I said, being so different that you're focused on spiritual food, not physical food. This morning, we can know where another war starts. It's 9 o'clock. They're in line. It's raining. And there have our little basement stairwell filled up. I walk to there and I'm carrying a box of food out to them. I think it's the first customer. And I get right to the door. You know, I'm just saying,
I tell you, we must confront people. They know.
People in this country know what they ought to be doing, but the devil has got all sorts of things to put in their way to keep them from doing it.
Nobody ever had so many modern conveniences. Nobody ever had so many ball games. Nobody ever had so many computers and these devices you carry around. I'm surprised some of you are not looking at it now. And our son, he tries to teach down at the college in Tennessee. He says his problem is, whatever. He sometimes finds out at test time, but they can sit back there with straight faces and carry on whatever they do. We are caught up with gadgets, aren't we? As what Jerry Fire said, if I'm blind, I'm dying. Right? We know that. Folks, that's refocus ourselves and think about what we're doing. We're worrying about stuff Jesus told us not to worry about. He said, sufficient unto the day. Into my business, you're on your own. I went to Ukraine in 1993. I saw a country that decided they'd tend to their own business and let his go. They starved to death. They're better educated than you are. They look just like many of the people in this room. They didn't have nothing. When you declare there is no God, guess what? He leaves the house. And when he leaves the house, you're in a heap of trouble. And that's what happened to those people. And they're still trying to recover and still trying to figure it out. And a lot of them have found the Lord in the process, and praise be to God to them. And let us pray that more of them will find it. We've got one in charge over there again, I think, in Russia. Not doing so well finding him, I don't believe, for the right purpose. Jesus said, I'll give you water that's everlasting life. Again, be different. Let's look at some ways we can be different. Prepare for salvation. This woman, we're not given all the details. He doesn't fill in all the details for us, but obviously she went through a conversion process. Okay? She went through a conversion process. And one of the things that she obviously did, because what in the first two verses of this chapter, what had just been said? Jesus was baptizing more people than John the Baptist was baptizing. Teaching John's baptism. That's what it said in the first two verses of John chapter 4. So one of the things clearly this woman knew that was being advocated by the prophet of the day as they knew him was that they repent. Now, what I want to talk to you about is the complicated truth. This lady starts asking him spirit. They have to start having a spiritual discussion. Go call your husband. Come back, I want to talk to you. Ooh. What's he talking to her about? That's a nice way to say, you know, you need to be paying attention to your spiritual life. Go call your husband and come here. Jesus knew her, didn't he? John chapter 4, verse 16, we just noticed. The complicated truth. About 2 years ago, I went to a brother and I talked to him about his situation. Again, I told you, if I know you and you're in sin, you're at risk. Because that's what a preacher's called to do. Isn't it? Matter of fact, isn't that what Christians are called to do? Go this way or this way? I know you don't care. Isn't that what Christians are called to do? Isn't that what Mark was talking to us last hour about the 99 and somebody going to the one that's lost and bringing them back? Well, about 2 years ago, I was talking to this brother in Christ. Something about his life situation. It wasn't a whole lot different from the lady that we were talking about here in John 2,000 years ago. John 4, 2,000 years ago. And during the discussion, he says, I know what I ought to do, Joe, but it's just very complicated. Are we ready to deal with the complicated truth? You know, sometimes
the complicated truth is so obvious that we can understand it needs to be dealt with. But maybe in your life, it's not so complicated. Maybe you're like the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he had it all down pat. Jesus liked him. He could rip off those scriptures and answer every question for Jesus. And Jesus said, you don't have but one thing left to do. You'll be all right. Go sell all you have and come and follow me. That's the kind of being different that we're discussing, brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors. Are you ready to think about your life and the changes that you should be making in your life in light of God's Word? That's our challenge. That's all of our challenge. Are you ready to listen to the prophet? She thought she was talking to a prophet because he'd already pretty well told her some things she had no idea he knew. And so she says, I perceive you're a prophet. Starts talking to him about spiritual things as she should have. A little later on in the chapter, in fact, in the verse, he talks to her about, matter of fact, one of the most profound lessons taught in the Bible is taught right here to this woman. Isn't it? Unlikely, can it? To talk about worship with, isn't it, John? You ever think about that? Unlikely to us. Maybe we just need to open up our spiritual eyes and see, right? But he had talked to her about, but the hour is coming, and now she'd ask about worship, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And that's the battle that I've been discussing with you about the difference. The handout that I put in the thing this morning was praising them for coming to our food program and telling how much we appreciate them coming, but that our real interest is talking to them about the stuff Jesus is talking about here, the things that are spirit and life, and how to get people in that discussion, encouraging them to be as interested in having a spiritual discussion as they are in getting that big box of cakes and stuff we did this morning. Are you ready for the prophet? You see, that's what Jesus is going to tell her. He is the prophet. She says, he starts talking about worship. And she says, I know the Messiah is coming. And Jesus said to her, I believe in verse 26, says, I who speak to you am He. See, not only had she found a prophet, she had found the prophet. She had found the Messiah, and she was coming to realization it was time to be different. Now, here's what repentance looks like, folks, in this woman's life. I know what it looks like in your life. I know what it looks like in my life sometimes, but I know what it looks like in your life. But in her life, and this illustration probably applies to more of us than we realize. It was time for her to stop pointing to men. And who did she need to start pointing to? Start pointing to Jesus, Messiah. You say, well, I don't have that problem. Well, the rich young ruler had that problem. No matter how much scripture he knew, and no matter how good a man he was, Jesus still wasn't priority in his life. And so that was the problem. She needed to start pointing to Jesus. It was time to repent. Every one of us, every day, ought to go through a repentance process. Look at my life yesterday. How can I live it better today? Now that I know more about the mind of Christ. We better move on. We're running out of time. It's time to acknowledge God's Son was a woman situation. I who speak to you am He. It's time to worship in spirit and in truth. It's the message she's receiving. It is time to begin a different walk. If you're with us from the community and you don't know Jesus and you're not in Christ, we encourage you to think about a different walk.
a different walk with Jesus that'll take you to places that maybe where you've never been before. It'll take you to small places in southeastern Panama where people live on dirt floors, but they want to be baptized in Jesus Christ. They want to live a life with Christ. Where people who give up the false doctrines they practiced in the past, whether that's worshiping idols or false doctrines based on Christianity, give that up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, a pure and simple gospel of Jesus Christ. They're willing to do what people did 2,000 years ago. For just a moment, I want to talk to you about that, and then we'll be done. Because we're looking at this lady who's reacting to Jesus' message when he's teaching John's baptism. In Mark chapter 4, we learn that John's baptism, where we learned in John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, that Jesus was baptizing more than John. But in Mark chapter 4, we learn that John's baptism was for remission of sins. And it's based upon, and look at this, if you don't believe me, go read the Bible. It's based upon repentance and confession of sins. That was John's baptism. That's the baptism that Jesus taught. Well, what happened to John's baptism? Are we still practicing that today? No, in Acts chapter 2, we ceased to practice that. Pentecost ended John's baptism. It was very appropriate up until that point. You know, if you know a little bit about the Bible, in the middle part of the book of Acts, chapters 18 and 19, there were some that had John's baptism after Christian baptism was put in place, and they had to be rebaptized because they were baptized for the wrong reasons, even though they were baptized for remission of sins. Now get this, anybody that says to you that baptism is not remission of sins knows very little about what Christian baptism is about and very little about what John's baptism was about, because the Bible says both of them were for remission of sins, for removing of sins, for washing sins away. That's why the Apostle Paul was told to rise and be baptized and wash away his sins. Because the baptism that was taught in preparing the way was for removing sins. The baptism that came in the New Testament church was for removing sins. There it is. It's in the Bible, Acts chapter 2. Read the whole book. That's all we have by way of illustrations of what was being taught. They gave us the book of Acts. We used to have when I was in engineering school. Yeah, I did go, John. And I did pass other courses. Where was I going with that? I looked at John, and his mind went blank. I said, there's a spot over there. Listen. He's expecting me to say something intelligent. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
But New Testament baptism, the 3,000 that were baptized in Acts, as is recorded in Acts chapter 2, was based upon their belief in Jesus. Now, it's not all stated. You just have to read it and look at it. Okay, it's based upon belief in Jesus, their confession of faith. In other words, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I confess you before the Father in heaven, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. That's what they did in the second chapter of Acts. They were presented with the clarion fact that couldn't be denied. And that's exactly who he was. They said, okay, what do we need to do? And when they asked that question, they were told they needed to repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. That's exactly what it says. Okay? So this lady needed to be different as she come to Jesus. She needed to respond to the gospel as they knew it. Let me give you some other information about baptism, because there should be no confusion about this. The word means immersion, to submerge. And that's the word that's used, if you go back to the written, it's a word that was transliterated, not translated. Now let's look at one other thing. What Paul said about what's baptism. He said it's a bearer. Okay? So we can't miss what it is, can we?
It is to submerge. That definition, where you saw that, not said get totally wet. You know what that means? That doesn't mean sprinkled. That means get totally wet, right?
If you're going to be buried, that means you're going to be buried. You know,
we lost one of my favorite people this year, Dorothy's mother, passed from this world. When we took her to the cemetery, we buried her. Now, I'm going to tell you, everybody in Lewisburg is at that funeral knows what a burial is, don't they? She was placed in a grave, and it was covered over with dirt. Okay? Paul said, told the Romans, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Okay? So, can be no doubt about it. The scripture says it's a burial, it's an immersion. That's what the word means. Baptizo. So, be buried with our Lord. Be baptized. Isn't that simple enough? This lady, she responds to all of that, and she, accepting what she was instructed, she goes out, and she starts doing certain things. She starts following Jesus. She starts living what she has had claimed to her. Well, what did she do with all her husbands? what did she do with the live-in? Okay. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us that. You know, basically, when you see Jesus in these situations, what's he do? He tells them to go and sin no more. I got some news for you. Everybody I baptize, that's what I tell them to do. There is some very obvious things that we can see that are wrong in people's lives. But you know what people usually are challenged by? They like their little white lies. They leave their life to us. Get more personal. You see, people that become Christians need to stop that too. So I don't know where the sin ends in their life. My commission is the same as Jesus, to call them, teach them the truth, and tell them to go and sin no more. And that means every day of their life they're going to be searching out the truth of God's word and trying to root the sin out of their life, because the devil's not going to give up on you because you're becoming a Christian. You just put a target on your back. You just took on the mark of Jesus. You know what that is? Go read about it in the Revelation. Okay? And it'll tell you what the mark of Jesus meant in that day and age. But it means the same today. Maybe even our country leaders don't persecute us the way they did back in New Testament times. But the devil still going to persecute you. And this is a spiritual war. We're in a war with the devil. Okay? Follow me. Well, what does that mean? The Gospels especially, but so are all of the New Testament and all of the Old Testament. Really about that message, isn't it? About following God. It was a lesson that he taught the rich young ruler who was a good man, but he had some things still in the way. If you look at Peter and Andrew in Matthew 4, you find two people giving up their lifestyle to follow Jesus. You look in John 1, Philip and Nathanael left their fisher's net. I believe, weren't they fishermen? No, they left their work. Peter and Andrew were fishermen. And then a tax collector, Matthew, I assume back then you had an office. He left his office. This guy was a scoundrel. How does Jesus get all these guys in? Well, that's the way we are in life. We're scoundrels. Some of us are better at it than others. The Bible teaches all of us, in some way, love sin. Isn't that what Romans chapter 5, I believe, is verse 12 said? Our problem is not that Adam and Eve sinned. Our problem is that we went out and did the same thing they did. And therefore, we're lost. That sin separated us from God. It wasn't our being born that separated us from God. We were all right then. That was God's business. But then, we go out, and we grow up, and we mess up. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us that we all, in like manner to Adam and Eve, have sinned. Therefore, we've separated ourselves from God. Therefore, we need to come back to Him. So a tax collector turned to Jesus. Jesus goes ahead and he teaches another powerful lesson to this lady in John chapter 4. Actually, to his disciples. When they get back, preacher, I've got a weight problem. But if I'd like Jesus, I don't guess I'd have that. Well, it came back to Jesus so focused on the message that he's been delivered to this woman, I suppose that's what's going on. They can't get anything to eat. He said, did somebody else bring some food here before we got back? Somebody bring some Twinkies in here?
Or whatever they call it, had back then. But he says, my food,
he's teaching them again. He's just setting them up to learn another lesson. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work.
If I ask you to hold up your hand, most every one of you are going to tell me you're Christians. And if I ask you to hold up your hand, you did, I'm going to tell you that's your job. And that's the only job you got. All that stuff at work, all that stuff in the kitchen, home, women, is your advocation. Your vocation is to finish the Father's work. What did Jesus see when he saw this woman? Most people saw a woman that was lost, and they didn't want anything to do with her. He saw a lost child of his Father in heaven. Everybody's door y'all been knocking this week, or last 3 weeks in this community, are lost children of the Father in heaven. If Jesus were here today, he'd be knocking their doors. He wouldn't be comfortable in his home because he didn't own a home. He wouldn't be laying on his pillow of rest because all he had was a rock. That's what he said. A stone for his head, because he was about finishing the work of his Father. And our calling is to be about the business of taking on the Jesus difference. Taking up our cross and finishing the work of the Father in heaven. Be different. Tell your friends about this work here in Radcliffe. Tell your friends about the work in your community where people are trying to worship from the Bible as they did 2,000 years ago. Take on what the lady did. I don't know where you noticed back in, if you happen to be looking at your Bible. Where was it back in John chapter 4, verse 28 says, the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the man, come and see. Isn't that powerful? That's what Jesus is calling us to do. Leave our water pot. Leave the kitchen sink. Leave the engineering table if you're an engineer. Wayne back there. He works up there. UPS. You still work UPS? What is up there, Wayne? You go home and you figure this out for yourself. If you haven't already done that, you need to leave like that woman left that water pot. She left that water pot then. A water pot then was precious possessions. We have no comprehension of that in this country. When my friends that I worked with used to go to Haiti, you know how you knew status? When you went to one of those 10-by-10 buildings and everybody slept in there wall to wall on the floor at night, if they had a chair out front, they were well-to-do people. That's the only piece of furniture they owned. You slept on the ground at night. She left her water pot. That water pot was essential for life. But she found something more important. She had found the prophet. And she went to tell her friends about the prophet. It also meant she had a different life to live. She had been changed by the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Be different. Explore the truth of the gospel. Believe on Jesus Christ. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God, just as the Scriptures require. Be immersed for remission of sin. Finish his work. Leave your water pot. Leave your office. Leave whatever it is you need to leave. And follow Jesus. Thank you for listening. May God bless you and keep you. And I thank Dennis and John also, but Dennis especially. He, I assume, was the one who came up with this idea. He and the congregation. And I think it's a powerful thing that you're doing. We just need to go forth and do likewise in other locations and other communities. Let's tell people about Jesus. Let's be different. Thank you.